What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to
podcast. Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community every single week. It is a true treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
It is lit, Hallie.
How was your week, my brother?
It was amazing. You know, Hallie, one of my biggest dreams finally came true.
Being a senior pastor?
No. Sally, I'm going to be a social media influencer.
Oh, that is awesome.
I was contacted by this great company. It's called Rise and Grind Social Media Influencer Engine Accelerator.com. And they contacted me and basically were like, Gray, we think you would be great to pair with one of our brands to be an influencer.
So what do you have to do? What's an influencer,
well,
really?
You know, I just sign on to that easy to remember website and they basically pair me with a different company that wants me to promote their products, and I got my first one this week. It's Riffy Boy Jean Company.
Oh, that is so cool. I wondered, is that what you're wearing? Because those
are... Yeah, these are Riffy Boy jeans, and kind of the concept behind Riffy Boy is, you know how like in the, I guess it was in the 70s, they had bell bottoms?
Yeah.
Riffy Boy is kind of taking that and turning on its head, and these are, you know, bell bottoms are big on the bottom, a small up top. These are big up top, small on the bottom.
A reverse bell.
Yeah, so that's kind of this cool new look. So, yeah, if you go to my Instagram right now, I'll be wearing a lot of Riffy Boy this week, and you can put in the hashtag Gray, Gray Riffy Boy, or put in the promo code Gray, and get some discounts on these cool jeans.
That is awesome. They kind of remind me of like those rodeo clowns where it's like all big around the waist and it has to have suspenders to hold them on.
No. Well, see, so the other cool thing, Hallie, is I got all my Climax kids. I said, if you want to go on winter retreat, all you have to do is instead of, you know, signing up through my email or whatever, is join on the Riffy Boy and sign up and get the, and, you know, if you get a pair of Riffy Boy jeans with my hashtag and my promo code,
cool,
then you can go on winter retreat.
That's so smart.
That was a big incentive for them.
But with them being all open up top, I'm afraid I would like get chips and dips falling down in there and stuff. I would get crumbles and crackers and stuff. Like, do things fall in the top there because it's open like a bell at the top?
No, I don't really eat chips, Hallie, so that's not a problem. Oh. Hey, how was your week?
Oh, I'm so excited because we're planning our family Disney trip for spring break. And I'm getting so excited. And, you know, it's cool. I don't know if you've been there in the last few years, but they're getting really, like, technically advanced where, like, Disney takes your fingerprint when you come and go from the park. And I think it's so cool because it just makes it so much more convenient. Although my son, Day, he won't do it. And he has to go in the longer line because he's, like, protecting his data and his personal information and ID and stuff because he thinks, like, corporate overlords are monetizing us and marketing to us and transitioning us into AI or some nonsense. And I'm like, fine, go stand in the longer line. I'm in here having fun in the Magic Kingdom. And you know what? I say Disney can have my identity. They can have my info. They can have whatever they want because they are wholesome and they do G-rated movies.
Truly.
And I trust them.
I mean, I've got nothing to hide. They can have my fingerprints.
See? So having a Disney trip coming up, you know, normally, Gray, I would use it punitively to keep Day behaving, you know? I would say, Day, if you don't get your act together, buddy boy, you're not going to Disney. But now he, like, doesn't even care about Disney. And he's, like, getting too old or thinking he's too cool for school or something. And so I don't know. He's like, I'd love to stay home. You all go. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. And so I have to think of other ways to punish him.
Well, what did he do?
Well, lately he's been, because he's a digital native, he's able to get all this information online. And he's always trying to correct me and tell me that Facebook and Fox News isn't news.
Can we say that anymore, digital native?
I don't know. Oh, is that racist?
Maybe.
Oh, everything is. But anyway, so he's all like, you know, the internet and social media is radicalizing people like you, Mom, and you don't understand how the algorithms are using mind control to capitalize on our anxieties and keep us agitated so you stay committed to the programming that they want to keep you addicted and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
So this week he did some presentation for me on his iPad and about mega churches. And I was like, oh, he's trying to get me right between the ribs, right where I live. And he said, did you know that mega churches in the U.S. were used by the big Koch brothers and Cambridge Analytica? Like, evidently what he was saying is the Koch brothers, they have a charity and they use that charity to fund and commission this Cambridge Analytica. I don't know what that is. Sounds like an Ivy League school. And they use this software company called Gloo, G-L-O-O. Sounds totally made up. And they built this software platform for churches to use. And I said, you know what, Day? I think that's awesome that they're focusing on helping ministries. And Day said, well, the churches didn't even realize that it was built to target vulnerable people and get these people in churches and get their money and convert them to far-right politics. And, you know, I said, Day, there's a reason it's called far-right. And I like being far-right. The reason that the right is called right is because we are right.
That's correct.
See? And I says to him, I says, Day, if you become a liberal, I'll use your college fund to go to Disney. And he said, you know what? I could become a coder or some other Silicon Valley garbage stuff that I don't understand. And he said he doesn't even need to go to college. So pray for me, Gray.
Right.
I mean, seriously, Gray, if I raise a leftist, socialist, baby eater, I will just be so ashamed and humiliated for the rest of my life. And
totally.
You know what? I blame the internet and social media for manipulating these young minds and capitalizing on their anxieties.
I mean, the only thing the Koch brothers do that I think as bad as they put a lot of sugar in the drinks.
Mm, that makes me want a Diet Coke.
Oh, ow, 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 ow.
Great, what happened?
Oh, I just spilled my freaking coffee down the top of my Riffy Boys.
Oh, burned your beans.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, You will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like Jesus shook the dust of Nazareth off his feet, our guest today shakes the dust of Indianapolis off and takes lucky travelers to Disneyland. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Dov Thiune.
Hello, hello, fellow church members. Great to see you on a weekday.
So lovely to see you. Woo!
It is just so nice to see you, Dov. And, you know, I guess every time I even see you around the halls of the church, I'm going, M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U. You know, I say that to you, and you always laugh.
I do.
It's just a really funny joke that we do.
Well, in your defense, I am usually singing it as well, so it gets in your head.
Like. That is right. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, you have such an important and specific role here at the church.
I do.
And you found your niche in a ministry that really takes people and shows them the magic, what I would say the magic of not only Disneyland, but also the gospel.
So every year I plan a trip to Disneyland over there in sunny Southern California.
Yeah.
And I take a group of people with us, usually families. Uh-huh. And we go and enjoy the Magic Kingdom. And what I like to say is the Magic Kingdom of God.
Yes.
That is so cool.
I mean,
I've heard amazing reviews about these trips that you do. And because, you know, some people with the church, you know, you can go to the Holy Land. We do missions trips. But most people say this is the trip that you want to go on if you really want to get in touch with your spiritual life.
And I believe that God placed that passion on your heart, Dov. I think that Disney is so wholesome. They tell stories that I believe are ultimately just telling the story of the gospel over and over, right? These are stories of redemption,
totally.
Atonement. Mm-hmm, and they're so wholesome, and it's so family friendly. And I know sometimes you take just the Climax kids, and sometimes you take whole families, but I just think it's so, it really redeems that Southern California thing that Disney's there, because it can be such a wicked place with Hollywood and all that. But I hear down in the OC, they're red, and they're mostly all GOP down there, and that's where Disney is, thank goodness gracious. And so you get down there and you honor God by allowing Christians to take in the Magic Kingdom and the splendor of that kind of entertainment and the rides and all that.
So
absolutely,
cool.
Absolutely. And you're right, that sunny Southern California can be a dark place despite all that sunshine, but Disneyland and the OC, they brighten that place right back up. I'll tell you what, it is something to see.
So take us through, like, what does it look like when you go there? How are you actually synthesizing, you know, this awesome place with this awesome set of stories that we believe in?
So we go ahead and we get into that park, and it is something to see. I got to tell you, right, you go down the streets of Main Street right there, right in the beginning, all the shops and whatnot, it is gorgeous. You feel like you're just in anywhere USA, but that anywhere is free of crime and free of hate and full of love.
Now, Dov, you know, some of my teens from Climax did go on one of these trips, and they said, you know, and I don't mean this is a critique as much as I'm just kind of curious, which is, you know, they said they got to run amok in the park all day long, which is great. You know, they're there to have fun. But they said that, you know, when you asked them, you know, what kind of Bible stories did they learn today, they found it very easy to just go ahead and say Jesus for any of the rides. So like for, you know, for Peter Pan, they're like, you said, you know, what does Peter Pan represent? And they were like, well, he never gets to grow up, so Jesus. And then they go to Space Mountain, and they're like, okay, what does that represent? And they're like, well, Jesus is everywhere. He's even in space, so Jesus.
Yeah.
And then they go on the log flume ride, and it's like, well, the log didn't sink. Jesus walked on water. Jesus. What do you say to these kids that are just saying Jesus to every single ride?
I say, sounds like you got Jesus on the brain all day long, and I like that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Okay, okay. One of my kids that did go on the Magic Kingdom of God trip last year, her name, and I don't like to name names, but her name's Jacqueline Bain, and she came back and she goes, well, you know, I just don't really know about all this Jesus stuff. And I went, okay, tell me more. She goes, well, I went on the Mad Teacup ride and I got really dizzy and I got really discombobulated. And then I started thinking about, you know, all these things that we say are true about Jesus. And she came off the Mad Teacup ride and said, you know, I don't believe any of it.
Oh.
So that's maybe a ride that we want to avoid because, you know, if you associate just being dizzy and sick and sort of confused all the time with Jesus, that might, you know, we might lose a few.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you take a look at that teacup ride, because you're making a good point right there. Now, who is in charge of the teacup ride? What character?
Oh, I have no idea.
The Mad Hatter.
Oh.
The Mad Hatter. Mad. Crazy. Mad. So right there in the name, it should tell us, hey, maybe this isn't something you go on.
Yeah, maybe the Mad Hatter is the evil one, is the devil himself.
So you got to be paying attention. You got to be looking around. You got to be listening to things. There's a lot of cues out there to tell you when something's right or wrong if you're paying attention. But if you're just going on things willy-nilly, sure, I'll do that. Yeah, pass me that. I'll smoke that. Sure, I'll drink that. I'm not even going to look at the label. I'm not even going to ask you what that is, what's in there. Then who knows? You got to take some responsibility for yourselves.
And true. And, you know, I said, you know, she goes, well, it was spinning so fast, I kept spinning it faster and faster. And I said, hey, you were the one spinning that little wheel faster and faster. You could have just sat in the Mad Teacup ride and had a nice, pleasant ride. But, you know, once you get a little taste, then, you know, that going back to your idea of free will, hey, you were the one that was spinning the teacup faster and faster. Maybe that's the reason that, you know, now you're on drugs and pregnant, which she is.
Oh, well, there we go. That's a shame.
Now, Dov, do you think that the Magic Kingdom is kind of like an earthly representation of heaven?
Hal, you just blew my mind right there. I'm going to tell you what. You just blew my mind because I've been thinking, what is it about this place? All right, there's all these like stories that I can link to Bible stories, all these rides and attractions that I can link to Bible stories. But the overall theme of this place, what is it? You hit the nail on the head. I feel like heaven's got to have a frontier land, an adventure land, a fantasy land, a toontown. I mean, that sounds like heaven if you ask me.
So you never go to Disney World, right? You only do the land. Is that right?
Never. Never go to Disney World. I ain't going to that swamp-infested hellhole.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Florida.
Okay.
Near Orlando?
Yeah. I don't want to bring down this chat, this very cheerful chat, but a gator took my daddy.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
And where did he take him?
Took him to the other side of the swamp.
Florida is so, you know, there's just a lot of crazy stuff that happens there.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a problem when you're on one of these trips with people maybe having a bit too much fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They have a little thing called the Dole Whip at Disneyland. It's a treat. And Hal, you'd love this because this thing is chock full of sugar. Okay.
Ooh,
chock full of sugar. When people have one, two, maybe three. Boy, they get wired up and they are running amok all around the streets of Disneyland. And it becomes quite a task to wrangle them back in. Oh, baby.
That sounds really intense. I mean, how do you know? How do you know about all that?
We'll tell you. Because that person I'm describing was me.
Oh.
Yeah. Had 3 Dole Whips in under an hour.
Oh, wow.
Shoveled down a big old turkey leg into my mouth.
Ooh.
Had 2 churros.
Ooh, yeah.
And I tell you what, I ran into Toontown, and you're not sure which was Roger Rabbit and which was me, because we were both going bonkers. I was losing my mind in there.
Oh, no.
I was running around. I was in Mickey's house. I was in Minnie's house. I was tossing chairs, throwing around the beds. They could not have gone back there and said, "This is our home," because I had wrecked it. It was unrecognizable by the time I got out of there. I was going crazy.
Oh, you know, this makes so much sense now, because I remember one of my families was saying, I was like, "What was your favorite Bible story?" And they said Sodom and Gomorrah. And then I was like, "Well, how does that all play out?" And they said, "Well, a guy lost his mind, tried to fight Roger Rabbit, wrecked his house, and then tried to fight a security guard." And I guess because he got all hopped up on sugar. So I guess that does make sense. So that was you.
Yeah, that was me. And what's the story about where everyone was turned into a pillar of salt? Was that Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah. Lot's wife.
Yeah. So I got myself a gumbo over in New Orleans Square, and they put a lot of sodium in that gumbo. And I just like stiffened right back up, calmed down. I was not moving around nearly as fast after that point. I was calm.
Oh, so you were like Lot's wife. Yeah, just the pillar of salt. I hope this doesn't bring up something awkward, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, I did notice the sort of bite mark on what would you call that, sort of a, I guess it looks like an alligator bite on your face. Does that have to do with the dad thing, or does that have to do with something else?
Well, it does have to do with the dad thing, because there was a trade-off. We had to go get that gator, my dad, from that gator. The gator demanded one bite. He got to bite one of us one time.
The gator demanded.
Yeah, not so much in the English language, but you got a sense that there was a trade that needed to be made before we were going to get our daddy back. So I said, "All right, you can take one swap at me. You get one swap, and that's it. If you get me, then you got me. But if you don't, we all leave." And that gator took one quick bite, got me in the face, right in my face. But I pulled away quick enough to not leave a mark, but quick enough to get on out of there. So it is definitely part of my daddy. But then we went over to that Jungle Cruise over there in Disneyland, one of my favorite rides. And I'll tell you what, that ride reminds me of the creation of the world.
Yes.
That
because
is
it
great.
Took, in Southern California, there's not a lot of jungle-like places. All right? Not a lot of jungle-like territory. But they made one. They made a jungle right there in sunny Southern California, right there in Anaheim. In fact, it is declared a park. That is an actual park within the park of Disneyland.
Wow.
That is a great piece of information.
Absolutely. And they got some fake gators in there.
Mm.
Well, I had some weird flashbacks, all right? And I jumped into that water, and I said, "You give me back my daddy."
Mm-hmm.
And that animatronic gator opened up its mouth, and it took a swipe at me, and I pulled out just in time. Same exact bite marks in the same exact place.
Really?
So now it's just more pronounced than it used to be, because I got... I got it done twice.
And was that on the same day as the Dole Whips?
Oh, yeah. It was a dark day. Also, arguably the most exciting day, but also a dark day.
I got to try a Dole Whip. I really do.
You got to try it. And I got a question for you, too. Now, who are your favorite characters? Who do you relate to?
Oh, I would say I have a 3-way tie between Snow White, Belle, and Ariel. I think all 3 of those gals really represent sacrificing your life for the greater good, just like Jesus.
Well. What a little princess.
That is cool. You know, I've never actually watched a Disney movie all the way through because I find them a bit boring. Sorry. But, you know, I guess, you know, we do Disney movies sometimes for the Climax kids when we have movie night. I guess I would probably say... Gaston looks like he's that guy. I mean, I just think he's got, you know, he's pretty built and he seems like pretty talented. So.
I bet he does CrossFit.
Yeah, totally. And I like just really think I like how his jaw, he's got this amazing thing where his like jaw is like super cut. And I just think that's pretty cool. But I've never seen the movie, so I'm not really sure.
Never seen a Disney movie.
No, you know, I just really can't get into it. I don't know. I just, I'm like, okay, you know, is there any kind of like, real stuff happening? I can't really wrap my brain around it.
Have you ever seen Rogue One or a Star Wars movie?
You know, Hallie, I just, you know, with space, I'm just kind of like, okay, it's pretty impossible to... I'm just like, I really am a concrete thing. I guess one Disney movie I really got into, what was it? Jason Bourne, is that a Disney movie?
That's not... That's not a Disney movie.
Oh, it's not. Ah, okay.
It's not a Disney movie.
I was thinking.
No.
Born Identity is Born Identity.
No, that's also a Jason Bourne movie. That's not part of the Disney universe.
The Bourne Reborn Redux, the Bourne Contingency.
I don't think that's a Bourne movie. I don't think it's a movie. That may be one of the many books that were written with that character, but I don't think that's a movie.
Bourne Redundancy?
No, that should be, and some would argue that some of them are basically that type of movie.
So you're saying none of the Bourne movies are a Disney?
None of the Bourne movies are a Disney property, but you might want to look into, they weren't Disney properties when they came out, but they are now. Indiana Jones. That sounds something that's kind of Bourne-like, and they do have an Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland, and that might be something you might want to take a look at.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I definitely would get into that, I think. But yeah. The Bourne, are you sure that none of the Bourne movies are Disney?
I think if one of them aren't a Disney movie, they probably all aren't a Disney movie. I would imagine that they're all under the same umbrella from whatever parent company, whether that's, I don't know, Orion. Are they still a production company? Something along those lines. But you want to, if it's okay, here's the thing. With Disneyland, you don't have to love all the characters. Again, you can instead say, how does this relate to the Bible? What lesson am I learning while I'm on the Finding Nemo ride? I don't care if I ever find Nemo. What I do need to do is find a relationship to God through this ride, all right? So with that ride in particular, you might say, well, when Jesus walked on water, all right, pretty incredible stuff right there, pretty incredible stuff.
Right.
We sink right to the bottom in a submarine. We cannot be walking on water. We aren't built that way. Now, we need to have faith in God that he can do it, but we also have to have a little bit of humility and say, we're going to sink right to the bottom. We're going to be looking for Nemo.
That's cool.
That is so awesome. Now, Dov, you know, you lead families, you lead some teen groups. Sometimes I've noticed your adult-only trips. I just always wondered, is there anything odd about grown-ups who just keep going back to these theme parks, or like escapism or arrested development, or is it just that's totally normal?
So you're asking if it's weird in any way that some adults maybe go overboard in collecting Minnie Mouse characters, and they have a bunch of sweatshirts, and they're all like Minnie Mouse or Disneyland or Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, and they are maybe in their 40s or their 50s, and they're still like, every year we go to a different Disney, all right? Yeah. We don't go see the pyramids or the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We always go to a Disney place. You're asking if that's somewhat strange or weird or odd in any way?
Yeah.
I'd say definitely not.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. I'd say definitely not.
That's good, because you kind of know what you're going to get. And if you want to go to Egypt or go look at something real, you never know. You could be, you know, abducted or something. So it's better to play it safe.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this question about the pyramids of Egypt.
Okay.
Do the pyramids of Egypt have a garbage can 10 feet in any direction from where you're standing?
Oh. No.
Yeah. Then you might want to go to Disneyland.
I don't think they have churros either.
They definitely don't have Dole Whips.
No, they do not. That is proprietary, specific to Disney. Okay, they're not going to get it. They can't get it. I don't care if King Tut's asking for one.
Right? Take that, King Tut.
Hey, have you guys ever, did you know that we actually in Australia, before Disneyland was a thing, we actually had the first Disneyland kind of place.
Really?
What?
Right. But yeah, because in Australia, we don't have Disney, but we did have a thing called Mookie Bellows Big Bonanza.
Ooh.
And what it was it was basically all, I think what happened was Walt Disney, the story is that he went to Australia. I think he went there like sometimes like after the war, because he was like hunting Nazis or something, and he went to this place called Mookie Bellows Big Bonanza, which was basically a guy that had all these live animals out in the outback, and he would dress up all the animals in, you know, different kind of costumes with pants and things on the wallabies, and they'd put, you know, a little hat on a kangaroo, and they'd be like, look at these characters. And it was great. You could go out there, you could do whatever you wanted, and it was sometimes really dangerous. People got killed. But I always thought, you know, there's got to be some tie between Mookie Bellows Big Bonanza and Disneyland, because that's basically what happens at Disneyland.
Wow.
There's absolutely a connection right there. And I'll tell you, one of those places that is, it's in the Haunted Mansion. In fact, Walt Disney himself had said, the ghosts who haunt these halls are the same ones who had died at Mookie Bellows
Big Bonanza.
So if you see those ghosts at the Haunted Mansion, you know, these were in the Outback.
That's great. Whoa. Well, it's not open anymore. Unfortunately, it got shut down because of all the deaths.
I get real scared of ghost stuff. Is it real spooky and scary?
It's the most terrifying thing you will ever witness. All right.
Oh,
it is a real testament if you can make it through the Haunted Mansion. Okay. It is a spooky place and lots of ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. And it's, think of it like a, It's like a hell house.
Oh yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's like Disneyland's hell house is the Haunted Mansion.
Would you point to a single, if you had to point, and I guess I just have one more question. If you had to point to a single place at Disneyland that best represents hell, what is that place?
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Opened in 1955 when the park opened, and they actually go to hell in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh.
And it is an adventure, and it is one that you're glad to get off of whenever you can. When that ride is over, you're like, thank goodness I made it. And it almost feels like a resurrection of sorts.
Oh,
that is so great. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, yeah, there's also kind of a weird thing going on, I think, with Mr. Toad and the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
Like,
Mole?
Where are the ladies, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just a lot of close time for two fellas to be spending together. Well, Dov, before we lose you here, I just want to give you a word basket of encouragement about your mutilated face and whatnot from the gator. If this encourages you at all, I just want you to know that every time I see an alligator, I think that right there is proof in the creation story and that evolution is 100% false, because you look at that animal, that's a prehistoric dinosaur style animal. And if there was anything like evolution, we wouldn't have a prehistoric animal in Florida. Okay. Because God, on the day of creation, on that day, God made two alligators. He made two, you know, French bulldogs. He made two, chickens. All of the things
in that order.
See? Yeah. Yeah. And so you can even think of your face as, like, you know what, in the same way that Walt Disney was the creator, you know, like, he's kind of like God on earth, if Disney is heaven on earth. Well, you can look at your mangled face and you can say, this is proof of our creator, and that the earth was made in 7 days, and the animals were named by a fellow named Adam. And that your face is a testament to the truth of the gospel.
Thank you. I certainly believe that. I absolutely believe my mutilated face is a testament to the one above. And I also say that going to Disneyland is such a special treat. And there's something they have in Disneyland called the Hidden Mickey. And
ooh,
they have
really?
Hidden
Another
Mickeys throughout the park. Little
of.
Images
yeah.
of Mickey Mouse's head. And throughout the park, I got to be honest with you, I've never seen one. And I've been there many times. I have yet to find one Hidden Mickey throughout the entire park. But that's okay, because that just means each time I go back, there's a little something I haven't seen yet, something I haven't discovered. Much like here in the regular real world, there's all these treats and God's little surprises and secrets that you have yet to discover. So you just got to keep on living, you got to keep on moving, have a dough up here and there, but always be on the lookout for those Hidden Mickeys, because they're going to pop up one of these times and you're going to be glad you had your eyes peeled.
Because you know what, as long as you believe they're there, they're there.
Yeah.
Dov Theune was played by Dave Tooney. Dave pops up on so many great shows. I particularly loved him on I Am Not Okay With This on Netflix. I loved that show. You can see him improvise at UCB. Well, when improv comes back. Please, Lord, may improv come back. Follow him at Dave Tooney.
I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.